Thank you, Josh. And it's good to see everyone here tonight. And it seems a little bit strange coming to church this time of night, doesn't it? But anyway, we'll get used to it. And I hope you don't get real sleepy in as much as it's dark outside. I'll have to confess to you, I have been. But anyway, I do appreciate your being here tonight. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful day. And we are so grateful for the presence of everyone, including our visitors who may be here tonight as well. You know, I suppose in every family there has always been what we often refer to as sibling rivalry. I don't know about you, but it is typically true of most families that kids at some time or another, there seems to be some kind of rivalry going on among them. That often happens, believe it or not, when there is a death of a parent. And kids begin to fuss over what mom and dad left them or what they think was theirs or what they should get instead of really focused on what really is important in life. Maybe you experienced that when your parents died. And or maybe somewhere along the way you had problems with family members, brothers or sisters, and such was common even in biblical days. If you brought your Bible tonight, turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. We're going to read about a little sibling rivalry that occurred between two children of Isaac. They were Jacob and Esau. And you probably remember this story, but by way of recollection and helping you remember it and recall it, I want to read verses 27 down through 34. The Bible says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man," that is P-L-A-I-N man, dwelling in the tents and so forth. "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob had pottage and made pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' And therefore was his name Edom," which really means red. "And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point that I am about to die, so what profit shall this birthright do unto me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And when Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright." If you were reading maybe in a more modern translation, it would say that Esau had contempt for his birthright. And I think that probably was true. You know, I have learned through the years that a lot of times in our lives when we want something bad enough, we will almost do anything to get it, and such was the case here. If you remember from what the Bible teaches about this story, Esau was the eldest, and he was blind to a lot of things, just like people are blind tonight to what we often call godly values. There are five ways that we sacrifice our future, and that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. How do you sacrifice your future? I talked about America's future this morning. Can we know the future? But I want you to understand that there are five specific ways in which we sacrifice our future. Many people today choose to take what they want. They want it right now. They don't want to wait for it. They don't want to wait for the proper time and circumstance, and the result is that they often make unwise choices and choices that will often ravage their lives. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you willing to sacrifice your future on momentary pleasure? And this is something that is applicable to every one of us in this audience tonight. A lot of times we think about younger folks, but I'm going to tell you something that is true of every one of us. Because a lot of times in life, there are things that we want, there are things that we desire, and we want it right now. We're not willing to wait for a proper time to get it. Sometimes I hear older people say, you know, the young people today want right now what we worked a lifetime to accomplish or to have. maybe new homes, new automobiles, and sometimes people immerse themselves in tremendous debt from which they will never, ever recover because they are unwilling to wait, just to wait. Audrey gave me a definition of wisdom this afternoon. I thought it was a pretty good definition. We were talking about the lesson tonight, and she defined wisdom in this way. It is the ability to discern the modes of our actions with a view to the results. And, you know, that is wisdom, isn't it? And wisdom is something that God gives all of us if we ask Him. The book of James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally, and he does not chide us when we ask. There are some things God says that we're not to ask for, but wisdom is not one of them. He says that we ought to ask for wisdom. If we lack wisdom, ask of God who gives to all. Well, let me leave with you tonight these five things that I think that are so important, ways that we often sacrifice our future. Number one, we are blind oftentimes to godly values, and certainly that was the case with Esau here. Esau's impatience and his hunger overrode the importance of his birthright as the eldest son. Now, if you remember back in that particular day and age, that when the father died, the firstborn son inherited leadership over the household. It was his responsibility to provide spiritual leadership within the family as well. But not only spiritual leadership, he had the responsibility and the control over all of the family's financial wealth. Now, you might say that Esau had it all going for him, but he squandered it for just a bowl of soup, if you will, or a mess of pottage. Do you know that people in today's world often drive other family members away by focusing too much on a number of things? A lot of times they focus on their career. They're always talking about climbing the ladder of success and where they want to be and what they want to accomplish in life. And they never talk about climbing that spiritual ladder of success. It was Jesus, you remember, who said that a man may gain the whole world and yet at the same time lose his own soul. What are we focused on tonight? Is it material things, or is it being focused on the spiritual things that are of lasting consequence? I heard about a man one time who was showing his friend around his home. And Fred, by the way, not to be confused with our Fred, But anyway, Fred started to point out all the collectibles his wife had acquired over their long years of marriage. And this could very well be the case, Beth, I don't know. But anyway, the day before I die, he said, I'd like to sell every piece she's got just to see how much it's all worth. You ever wanted to do that? I guess probably there have been times like that with me too. And his friend said, but you couldn't possibly know the day before you were going to die, so how could you sell it? He said, simple. He said, I'll sell it and my wife would kill me. Well, maybe that would be true. I don't know. But many times in life, we just focus on the material things and not on the spiritual things. And I can tell you where Esau's focus was. It was on the physical or the material things. Now, he reasoned logically within his mind because he thought, now, you know, I'm famished out here and I've just come in and I'm getting ready to die. It's going to happen. I'm going to die if I don't get something to eat. You ever felt that way? Well, Esau felt that way. And he thought, well, what good is this birthright to me if I am going to die? And so Jacob turns to him and he says, well, now I want you to make an oath. And if you make an oath, you will keep it because you are a man of God. And so anyway, he challenges Esau to make that oath. And he makes an oath selling his birthright, relinquishing it all to Jacob. And now Jacob will become the spiritual leader in the family. That's why later God used Jacob, if you will, and he became Israel in the sight of God, and you know well about the 12 sons of Israel and so forth and so on, the 12 tribes of Israel. But anyway, now he not only became the spiritual leader, but he became the one in control of all the family's wealth as well. But you know, a lot of times in our life, we are focused on the wrong thing. People are focused on their career. People are focused on power. People are focused on money. People are focused on possessions, as I said. But let me tell you another way that we sacrifice. We sacrifice our future, number two, when our appetites overrule the Holy Spirit. Do you know God has given you and I various cravings within our body, various desires that are to be exercised in a wholesome way. We all have cravings for food. We all like to eat. There's nothing wrong with eating. But the Bible says if a man is given to indulgence or he is given to obesity, it is better for that man to put a knife to his throat. And that's pretty serious business. Than to be obese. That's what it says. God gives us the desire to have relationships. Now, if God gave you a desire as a man to have a relationship with a man, that's not a God-given desire. And if God gave you the desire to have a relationship with a woman as a man, that's perfectly normal. But if you as an individual, as a woman, desire to have a relationship with another woman, that's not of God. I hear people say all the time, well, you know what? God loves us all. I'm not saying he doesn't love us all. There's no denying that. I mean, God loves every one of us. But he did not give you that desire. That desire is not of God. He gives people that sexual desire, and that's just part of our makeup in a physical way. A lot of people get real edgy when you start talking about that. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Maybe we hadn't done enough teaching on it. And maybe that's why we have so many problems that result from it. And sex outside of a marriage relationship is wrong. But in the marriage relationship, it is a healthy, wholesome desire that God has given to every human being. God gives us desires, but our desires should be tempered by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And when a person yields to his or her appetites, he or she often makes foolish decisions in life. And we do. God commands us to utilize self-control, and that, by the way, is a fruit of the Spirit. As we mentioned this morning in the book of Galatians chapter 5, self-control is one of them. And if you were to read in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, you would also find out where the Bible says that we are to add temperance to our life. We call it a Christian grace. But it is also a fruit of the Spirit. But when a person yields to his desires and he tries to overrule the Holy Spirit of God, he has sacrificed his future, spiritually speaking. But then there's another way that people often do that. And that is when we expect immediate gratification. When we insist on having our desires fulfilled right now, we show our distrust for God's timing and his provision. You know, sometimes when we pray, it astounds me the way people pray sometimes is as if God doesn't know what we need. James says that he knows what we have need of even before we ask. And he gives us far greater things than what we could ever imagine. Never has it entered into the mind of man the glory that God shall reveal in us. He already knows what we have need of. And we have to leave it on his time schedule. We think sometimes if I don't get this immediately, then I will never have it. I think that's the way people rationalize in their mind about things. Well, sometimes people rush into an unholy marriage. Sometimes they, in desperation, will marry someone they don't really love, but they will rush into a marriage because they think, hey, if I don't do this right now, no one will ever come along for me. Instead of trusting God's timing. God has the very best plan for our life. And if we reach for his blessings and take them ahead of time, we'll never enjoy life to the fullest measure. You know, sometimes God denies us certain things at the moment that he may offer us something better down the pike. You know, Walt Disney probably was one of the most creative people, I guess, that I have ever had the privilege of reading about. I didn't know him personally, but I would have loved to have met him because he was a genius in his time. Disney was also ruthless in cutting anything that got in the way of a story's pacing and all those movies that he made. There was a man by the name of Ward Kimball, by the way, one of his animators for the movie Snow White. Most of us probably have seen that movie. Well, anyway, while while they were making that movie, Kendall recalls working 200, and now think about this just a minute, 240 days on a 4.5 minute segment of that movie. It was a 4.5 minute sequence in which the dwarves were making soup for Snow White and almost destroyed the kitchen in the process. Well, Disney thought it was funny, but he decided the scene had to go because he thought it stopped the flow of the picture, and he decided just to cut it. It went out. And when, you know, I've learned that when the film of our life is shown, will it be as great as it could have been? A lot depends upon the multitude of good things we need to eliminate in order to make way for great things that God wants to give unto us. It is true. When we want immediate gratification instead of placing ourselves on God's timetable, we'll have problems. But there's another thing, number four. One of the ways that we sacrifice our future is when we focus on temporary things instead of being focused on things that are eternal. Esau became so focused on getting something to eat. Now, you know what? I've been real hungry in my lifetime. There have been times when I thought, boy, you know, I'm just going to pass out if I don't eat. But let me assure you, that will not happen on Sunday morning. It will not happen. If you're late getting out of here, and it won't happen tonight. But Esau became so focused on the temporal pleasures of life that he did not consider the ramifications of his decision. He wasn't thinking about anything else. He was thinking about the fact, I may die, I'm going to die. If I don't get something to eat, I've got to have something to eat. He never thought about, what if I live? Am I willing to deal with this, that I have sacrificed the law of primogeniture, or that I have sacrificed the responsibility that God has placed upon me as a spiritual leader and leader of the household to my younger brother Jacob? Can I deal with this? A lot of people throw all that to the wind. As I said, sometimes people will amass tremendous debt because they want to satisfy the temporary right now. They don't think about the consequences. Remember that old oil commercial on television where the guy is, you know, he's advertising. I can't even remember what oil it was. But anyway, in the oil filter, it was pay me now or pay me later. The concept was you get your oil changed and make sure you change your filter, and if you don't, you're going to pay for an engine overhaul somewhere down the road. Well, it is true. And we focus on the wrong things, we're going to have problems. When we pass from this life to the next, we take nothing with us, and we face a sure judgment according to the book of Hebrews 9:27, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. And we will answer for how we have lived on this earth and those choices that we make. And sometimes those choices have eternal consequences. Think about this just a moment. Is there any ambition, any pleasure, or desire in your life that is worth suffering for all eternity? Is there? But then, last of all, one of the other ways that we sacrifice our future is when we don't consider the future consequences of our choice and actions. I do this anyway, and I would hope that all people do. when you buy something, do y'all ever read the fine print? Or do you just overlook it? I got a check in the mail the other day. I don't know if you've ever gotten one of these. And it was a check for $5. And I thought, well, now, wasn't that right generous of those people to send me a check for $5? I was getting ready to go down and cash it, and I read right down at the bottom that it said, in cashing this check, you have subscribed to a magazine subscription for 2 years. I called those people up and gave them... No, I didn't. I was ready to, because I read the fine print. You know, if you buy a house or you buy an automobile, you generally want to read all the fine print to find out. And if you don't, you may be facing tremendous consequences of your ignorance. And sometimes people are just ignorant, really, of what's going on. Don't make foolish choices today that will cost you the rest of your life. I think about Achan in the book of Joshua 7. Now he took of the accursed thing and it cost him his life and his family. I think of Samson and his encounter with Delilah in the book of Judges 16, or David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, or Judas who made that horrible mistake of selling his Lord. John chapter 18. Would you sacrifice your future for a moment? Some people do. We're called to trust God, that God will meet our needs. But when we choose to pursue our own course, we risk pain and we regret in this life the mistakes that we made, not only in this life, but also in eternity. You know, I'm happy when people become successful in life. I really am. And, you know, I always wanted to be successful in whatever I did, and I always want everybody else to be successful. There was a Scottish minister one time who was known for his love and his encouragement of people in the church where he preached and also in the village. And when he died, someone made this comment. They said, there is no one left to appreciate the triumphs of ordinary folk. Do you know that love appreciates the triumph of ordinary folks? Our children are built up and they are strengthened when we encourage them in their accomplishments, but more especially when we encourage them to obey God. It's not so much making a living as it is making a life. And that's what we ought to be teaching our children, how to make a life for yourself. Not so much as how to get by today, but what are you going to do tomorrow? It's like many of those in government, as we were talking about this morning, selling this idea of go ahead and borrow, go ahead and print up more money. Don't worry about the national debt. Your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children will take care of it. Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's a horrible philosophy of life, folks. God says, owe no man anything. Love does not rejoice in falsehood or wrong, but its primary business is to build up, not tear down, but to strengthen and not weaken. I would not want to sacrifice my future on the altar of momentary pleasure. Not at all. And I hope you wouldn't either. And it's something we wrestle with every day, whether we admit it or not. We all have to deal with that somewhere along the way. And I hope it's something that you will consider this week. Let me just challenge you to do that. Not be so focused on momentary pleasure, but be focused on the long haul. The future. What will the consequences be of your choices that you made today? I know one thing, if you're not a Christian and you choose not to become one, the consequences are too high, folks. And to be lost in an eternal hell and to be separated from God is beyond comparison. There's nothing that compares to that. That's why we challenge people from this pulpit, and we do it in a personal way to encourage people to become obedient to the faith, to renounce their sin, to give up this silly idea that I want to be satisfied right now, and to acknowledge Christ as the only hope that you really have, and with a penitent heart and a belief that is second to none, and without question, surrender yourself to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and then to live that godly life that honors Him. Sometimes in our busy schedules in our lives, we all get things just a little out of focus. Sometimes it's hard for us to stop and readjust and analyze where we are. Some people never do it, and they go to hell that way. And they deny God. They neglect the things that are really important in life. And so they choose to continue to live that way. That's not a wise choice. So as you examine your own hearts tonight as children of God, I hope that the choices that you're making are wise choices. But if they're not, then I hope that you would have the intestinal fortitude to change that and to say, God, you know, He's made me think here tonight. And whatever changes need to be made for you to have the right mindset, and I hope you'll do that. And Josh is going to lead us in a song of encouragement and invitation here in just a moment. And if you need to respond to the call of Jesus our Lord and to make adjustments in your life for your future, don't sacrifice your future. It's not worth it. Let us stand and let us sing.
Just as I am.